Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones setting things up in the Sunbury Motor Studio as we speak, getting ready for a heated conversation. Maybe not heated, but a active conversation today, discussing concussions. We've had a lot of discussion about that the last few weeks with the death of Junior Seau recently, and discussion on whether the concussions that have been suffered over the years might have caused some brain injury that may have led to his suicide, and maybe the suicide of several NFL players over the years. We'll have Dr. John Fury from Sun Orthopedic on to talk a little bit more about that in the next 30 minutes or so. One of the things he'll also discuss is...
Just trying to avoid Cole Hamels in the parking lot.
Did you duck quickly to avoid Cole Hamels in the parking lot? Or did you turn into it? Did you? No. You're supposed to turn into the pitch.
I don't care about baseball, but that was Bush League.
Well, that is our poll question this afternoon, and it will be headed onto the Steve Jones Show page. So just go to SteveJonesShow.com, and you'll be able to answer our two-part poll question. One, was it old school baseball or unacceptable? And two, should there be a fine or should there not be a fine?
It should be fine.
I agree.
It should be fine. Old school, what did? I mean, there's no history. I mean, what he did last. I mean, and you know what? It served him right. He stole home.
Oh, absolutely. I thought that was definitely justice there. But let me ask you this: did Cole Hamels do this to get himself endeared a little bit more? Maybe some of this had to do with getting himself endeared more with the Philadelphia Phillies fans. He's never quite completely
fit
in.
He's the World Series MVP.
I know, but there has not been a complete
fit. He's the World Series MVP.
I'm not debating that, but there has not been a complete, fit for Cole Hamels in Philadelphia.
You want to make Bryce Harper welcome him to the major leagues? Strike him out.
I'm not saying he was right in what he did. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to think why Cole Hamels would have thought that was okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable what he did. And then what Zimmerman did, hitting Hamels, now I go the other way.
Now you go, that's acceptable?
Sure it is.
Retaliation's acceptable.
Yep.
All right, so we're teaching our youth now that if you get hit, you can hit back.
Hey, that's old school baseball. I'm not going to let you go out and hit my guy.
Yeah, but why is that okay then?
I mean, why is it okay? Because he went out and he did it. And they know he did it.
But now we're telling our kids that it's okay, that if you get thrown at, that you can take advantage of that and throw at the guy later.
Excuse me, if you're going to take a bat and you're going to go to the plate, man up. Okay?
If you threw at somebody earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, but that's, you know what? Guess what? You want to know how it feels? Here you go. That's how it feels. You feel better now?
I can't say I completely argue with you on that one.
No, I think what he did was Bush wrong. Has no place in baseball.
Now don't hold back. Tell me how you really feel.
There's no place. What he did was wrong. The kid has no history with him.
What if it would have been somebody who has a history? Let's just use Worth for an example. I mean, I don't know that it would qualify, but let's just use that for an example. He's been in the league a little bit. He was a former Philly. Now he's with the Nationals. Would that
There's
have made a difference?
There's no reason for it.
All right, so what should the suspension be?
Well, he's a pitcher, so what should his suspension be? He freely admits he hit the kid.
Right.
He should be suspended for 10 days.
Which would be about two starts.
Yep, sorry. It'd be one start.
Or one start, rather. Not quite the second one.
Right. That's why you suspend a pitcher. You have to suspend a pitcher differently than do anybody else. You can't sit there and say, I'm going to suspend you for 3 days. Well, what good does that do?
Great. That's my rest. Thanks a lot. I'll take it off. See ya.
Yeah. I mean, those days I wasn't doing anything to anybody but long toss.
But again, does that make Philly fans are this type of fan base? Does it endear him a little more to Philly's fans?
Who cares? It's bush league. It's bad baseball. You know, you want to do something? Win.
Well, you did.
Would you like to endear yourself to fans? Win the damn game.
That he ended up doing.
Which he did. But what he did was wrong.
Let's go in that game a little further. What about the injury to Wirth? Reportedly now a clean break on the wrist that he already had some issues with. I mean, depending on what happens here, that could be a major impact to this team.
Well, that's a fragile offense to begin with. That's why Bryce Harper's up with the team. Bryce Harper's up with the team because they knew they had to get something going offensively, which Harper has done. He has given them a boost. He has been able to put something in there that's a little bit better for them. Okay? Not getting Wirth, even though Wirth has a propensity to strike out in key situations, which he does, he still gives them another bat. And that is a loss. There's no doubt. The Nationals have a fragile offensive mix to begin with. And this is another step. Again, the fragility of their offense comes into play. It also evens the playing field a little bit with the Phillies because they don't have Utley or Howard right now.
Although the latest rumor is that Utley may be back before Howard.
Well, if that's the case, they need him. They need him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They need him back in the lineup somewhere. They're not getting any true production in that spot at the moment.
And the Phillies' middle inning relief didn't have to show up again. Ninth inning, if the eighth inning wouldn't have rotated around batter-wise, it probably would have seen Hamels try to finish that one.
Right.
So that gave the bullpen a little bit of rest that the last two nights kind of gave up more runs again.
Yep, no question. I mean, no question, but, you know, I mean, look, Hamels did the job he was supposed to do. I mean, he pitched great. Right? But the thing with Harper, I mean, is illogical. You beat us the last 2 days, so I'm going to hit you. What the heck? It wasn't like Harper's been going out there mouthing off, throwing bats at people, going into second base with his spikes up. And he's just been playing ball. And they were beating him. What he did was bush. Pure and simple.
So I think we can safely put you down with unacceptable and fine.
Well, he should be, I mean, like I said, he should be suspended.
Fine is an outcome, but a paying fine he should receive.
Well, he should be fine, but he also should.
I just want to make sure I had you marked down correctly on the SteveJonesShow.com page.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
There was another sport that had kind of a run-in like that in NASCAR. Well, actually, it was the nationwide race over the weekend where Danica Patrick showed a little bit of unhappiness towards Sam Hornish Jr. The way they were racing at the end and gave him a little shove and kind of put him into the wall after the race was over.
Yeah, wrong too.
Yeah, that there's going to be. I don't care how much advertising money you're bringing into NASCAR. There's going to be a fine for that one too, from NASCAR.
Wrong too on that one. Look, you're going in how fast?
Well, it was on the cool down lap, so it wasn't as fast.
How fast are you going on the cool down lap?
In the mid-50s.
Are you going 20?
No.
Okay. Ever see crashes on the highway at 50 miles an hour?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. How much damage is done? How many people get hurt? I mean, the crash that Dale Earnhardt Sr. had, which was at full speed, by the way, looked like a rather innocuous crash, didn't it?
It did. You know, and that's something that I've thought for years. I watched it live and didn't think there was anything major that went wrong there.
Right. I'm sorry, you can't be flirting like with that line. You just can't flirt with that line. You want to have words with somebody in the garage, you want to talk to them and tell them in point blank, face to face, at Bush League, but you don't nudge them. She was wrong. Now, he was wrong originally, right?
Right.
But she was equally wrong. Because, you can't do that. That's dangerous.
It would have been more entertaining if they would have gotten out of their cars and had a discussion about it. That would have been more entertaining.
Oh, boy, that's what you're just, you and your soap opera NASCAR stuff.
It's all about the television numbers. You know that.
I know it is. But what Hamels did, look, I think Cole Hamels is a fabulous left-handed pitcher. I think he's fabulous. Any team would love to have him. Phillies are lucky to have him. Endearing himself to Philadelphia fans when you're the World Series MVP, aren't you endeared? I mean, let's count the Phillies World Championships. 1, 2. That's it. Got it. Okay. Mike Schmidt, Cole Hamels. Only two Phillies ever to be World Series MVPs.
Before that game started, what do you think the odds of anybody thinking Cole Hamels would have thrown at somebody, though? I mean, he would have been the last person on the rotation that I would have thought would have thrown at somebody.
Low. He'd have been one of the last guys I would have thought of. That's why he did. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Not only that, as a runner on base. I'm sorry, there was nobody on base when he did it. Now, Zimmerman, you know Zimmerman threw at him. There was a runner on base and one out when he did it. Here's a chance to get the pitcher out and just move on. No, he tossed at him.
Well, and if you're Cole Hamels and you don't think that's coming, then you really don't watch old school baseball.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But you can't be, you know, I mean, the kid has done nothing except come up from the minor leagues. Welcome to the majors. The majors what? Welcome to Bush Leagueville? I mean, that's Bush League stuff. That's adolescent stuff. You want to make a statement to him and welcome him to the major leagues? Strike him out. All right, you're up with the big boys now. I got you.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. Even as a Phillies fan, it's tough to defend. But I wouldn't mind hearing from Phillies fans on being able to defend that. I'd like to know where most of the fans stand on that.
Well, I think it's easier for them to make a stand on it today because they won. They won the game, and not only that, he really did pitch well. I mean, he really did pitch well.
Should he have been tossed right away?
No. No. No, because now you think he did. You know, you can't draw at the moment, try on the field, draw that conclusion. Now, when Zimmerman hit Hamels, that was in the automatic. Okay, all right. You know, I got enough common sense. I know what's going on.
Yeah, that was when the umpire came out and warned everybody.
Right, had to. And then nobody did anything else. After that,
this has been an eventful series. Charlie Manuel got tossed in like the first or second inning on Friday night.
Yeah, I was listening to that game.
By the way, you went to the wrong Boston game.
You know what, though? I couldn't have gone to speak if I'd gone to the one yesterday.
That's true. That you know, game so was I, a little
I,
longer.
I would have had to have left early. Yeah, I saw 8-2, and the Red Sox right now are a mere shell of themselves. It's, I mean, Fenway Park was opened 5 days after the Titanic sunk. I can tell you right now, this team's playing like they're on the Titanic.
Thank you. You just gave me bump music for the next few moments.
Well, no doubt. We have a special guest today. I know that. We'll talk about it in a little bit. And also, you and I will be at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on Wednesday, which I'm looking forward to. We're going to have a great time at the tournament. We're going to do the show live from the country club. That's on Wednesday. On Thursday's show, we'll hear from Cale Sanderson, Coquise Washington, Patrick Chambers, and hockey coach Guy Gadowski. That's all on Thursday's show, which will be brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel at REW Financial. Today's show, of course, being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here from the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15. Sunbury Motors, Kate and Hummel's Wharf. Back with more on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Bobby Valentine taking on water. Keep bailing, Bobby.
Iceberg right ahead.
I mean, really, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Aaron Cook, of course. Josh, you look at the team, all right? They're a mere shell of themselves right now. Kevin Youkilis, disabled list, can't play. Then Will Middlebrooks, who, by the way, is a fact, played against State College when he was at Lowell. Great prospect. Hit a grand slam yesterday, got back in the lineup. Felt a twinge, couldn't play. So he's out. Crawford's out. Ellsbury's out. So you're talking about star play. Oh, was a number. Just kidding. And then at the plate, they brought O'Day in. The Red Sox had a chance. And had run ball. Went 6 2/3, threw like 110 pitches. Gave up two hits in the first inning, two outs. He's at the place. This guy, you know, O'Day's a submarine dude. Right? And Bird's like dancing in the box, leaning. I'm like, I looked over. I said, he'll strike out. He'll strike out on three pitches. And somebody around me says, oh, no, no. I said, no, look at him. He'll strike out on three pitches. He has no clue what to do up there. Because I'm only sitting eight rows off the field. Right? Two pitches later, gone. I'd rather go with a guy from the minors. And it's the worst Red Sox team I've seen in years. But again, you know, no Youkilis, no Ellsbury, no Crawford, no Beckett. Then Aaron Cook is pitching. And he gets the Orioles 1-2-3 in the first inning. And then he gets in a little bit of a trouble. His sinkers in, you know. There's a play. The ball gets away from Saltalamacchia. He goes into cover. He gets spiked. I think it was by Adam Jones at the plate. He gets spiked. Okay, that's fine. So they stop the game. It looks like they're going to take him out. I go down. I said, you know what? While they're looking at him to figure out what to do.
You grab the hot dog.
I went down and got a sausage dog.
That was close.
So I'm standing in line. There's a couple of people in front of me, which my timing was perfect because after that was a huge line. I looked at it and said, I drove all this way to watch Aaron Cook pitch. My day is ruined. All right. My day is ruined.
But how was the hot dog?
Much better than the pitching performance.
There you go. That's what I figured you were going to tell me.
Absolutely. Orioles are a good-looking team. Weeder's a good-looking prospect. Markakis I've always liked. J.J. Hardy's performing well for them. Mark Reynolds is who either strikes out or homers. Homered and struck out in the game. So he gave me the complete thrill.
And it looks like, I'm sorry, it looks like Crawford, you talked about Crawford being on the DL. I mean, we're talking maybe all-star break at best now?
No, August.
Oh, that's even worse.
August. You're not till August. Ellsbury may be back in 3 weeks. Youkilis may be back in two. But, I mean, they're just shell of themselves. I mean, Beckett doesn't pitch in the game. You get Aaron Cook. You're like, oh, my goodness. Feel like you just opened the door to the dark room. Cole Hamels, once again, not a fan of what he did. Not a fan at all of what he did. And I really like him as a pitcher. I think he's a top-flight pitcher. I'd love to have him on my team. I think he'd be, but, you know, in that one moment, whatever the judgment was on that one, totally escapes me. Now, if you disagree with us, give us a call at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be talking about concussions later in the show today. I know that management's wanted me to get somebody on to talk about this topic in light of Kevin's recent performances. What?
No, I'll wait.
Wait for what?
The next segment.
News is next here on WKOK. Great to have you with us on this dreary Monday.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this dreary Monday afternoon on a day where the day after Cole Hamels manned up for the team.
And then took one for the team, too.
Sorry, he earned his.
No argument.
Our number, 1-800-795-9565. You'd be amazed how you can send a message to the kid by getting him out all four times.
But that's not old school.
Old school in my...
That's all.
His perspective. What's his perspective?
No, that's the way they used to do it. It's old school baseball.
The rides at Fantasyland are open? What?
Maybe. That may be.
All right. What do you think on this? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795. Our good friends in Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. PurdyInsurance.com. They have been with us since day one, and we are thrilled to have them on board every Monday. From the beautiful Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and these right now. Very nice. Hey, well, it's Sunbury Motors.
While we have a second waiting for Dr. Furia to be on the line with us.
I can't work like this. I'm sorry.
I know. It's when the plan gets changed, it's rough.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thrown off.
The Big East commissioner steps down or may have been forced out on Sunday. Yeah, your thoughts?
The Big East is an absolute mess. It is an absolute mess. It has been a mess since the day the Oklahoma-Georgia lawsuit was settled. The Big East is not a conference. It is a league. There is a big difference between a conference and a league. A conference is that in any sport available, all the conference members play one another. So you can take in the Big Ten. You know, there's volleyball, baseball, softball, wrestling. You know, at least the ones that are available. I mean, baseball, for example, Wisconsin doesn't play baseball, but the other 11 schools do. But baseball, softball, hockey, all six teams that play hockey are going to be in a conference together. Football, men's and women's basketball, and on. You know, there's a Big Ten gymnastics championship and things like that. The Big East has always been a cobbled together league, not a conference. They have been a league. Now, the original concept, and let's go back to day one, you have to really put yourself back in time as to what the landscape of intercollegiate athletics was in 1979 when Dave Gavitt came up with this idea. The landscape back in 1979 was 1 to 2 football games a season would be on for Penn State on TV. And then after that, everything else was on radio. You know, so you had the game of the week in college football. There was no ESPN until September 5th, 1979. And Eastern Sports, gee, here's a shocker. Eastern Sports was completely unorganized until then. There is a shocking revelation. The East has never been able to get its act together. Never. Everybody else seems to figure it out, but they've never figured it out in this part of the country. Never have. So Dave Gavitt comes up with the idea of the Big East Basketball Conference. And by the way, it is a great idea, especially in the landscape of the moment. Again, it's 1979. So Providence, St. John's, Georgetown, Villanova, UConn, Boston College, Syracuse, all get into a conference together. And then 1981, Joe Paterno decides, you know, maybe we ought to have an Eastern All-Sports Conference. And what he's able to do is he's able to get Rutgers, Temple, to agree to it, West Virginia to agree to it, and then he's trying to talk to Boston College, Syracuse, Pitt, and then maybe if he can sneak Maryland in, have eight teams and a Fiesta Bowl automatic bid. And you'd be playing in all sports. And he was talking to about block scheduling, for example. You know, say, for example, okay, let's put the men's soccer team, the women's soccer team, field hockey team at a bus, take them down to Pitt, for example. Everybody plays. You know, you're trying to save money here. You know, you get a nice television deal out of it, you know, which I'm sure they hope to would do so at some point. It's 1981. Jay Crothamble at Syracuse, Bill Flynn at Boston College, who were the respective ADs at the time, talked to Dean Billick at Pitt, convinced him, just come in for basketball. This is the place to be. So Pitt goes there in basketball. And by the way, for Pitt and basketball, it's, you know, it was a great move, no doubt. Who's on the outside looking in? Penn State. Now, as time goes, the Big East does a little expansion here and there. And then, of course, the shocker that they've never recovered from was Penn State going to the Big Ten. It was like, well, you can't do that. Well, yes, you can. I mean, Joe met with Dave Gavitt at Bradley International Airport in Windsor Locks, Connecticut in 1981 to talk about all of this. And at that point, the decision was made that the Big East was not going to invite Penn State to play basketball or in any other sport. And Mike Trangese said to Dave Gavitt at the time, he said, do you think we'll regret this? It's been haunting ever since. So in 89, Penn State gets invited to the Big Ten. They're like, what are you doing? You can't do that. Yes, you can. We're independent and everything. Penn State's in the Atlantic 10 for other things because they had to come up with something. Now, this is where the Big East, in its desperation, starts to do things. They decide to form a football conference. They invite Virginia Tech to play football. But now, what all of you may not remember is that Virginia Tech was in for football only for several years. They weren't in for basketball. Virginia Tech had to play in the Atlantic 10 for basketball for many years. Temple. We know Temple was not drawing in the Big East. They were only drawing 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 a game at the Vet at the time. But do you realize that Temple was only in the Big East for football? They, too, were in the Atlantic 10 for basketball. So the Big East is inviting in Virginia Tech. They still have Temple playing football, but they don't invite them in to play basketball. Which, by the way, Temple could have made an impact in the Big East and helped them out with their basketball component. Wouldn't do it. Finally, they let Virginia Tech in as a full member in all sports, but it took a while. Temple, meanwhile, because they aren't drawing in football, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, whatever, a game down at the Vet, Temple gets kicked out of the Big East. Then, of course, BC, Virginia Tech, Miami, all bolt for the ACC. And Mike Trangese then made the ridiculous statement about them leaving, and I sat back and went, oh, wait a minute, Mike, hold on here, buddy boy. It's okay for them to leave, but it's okay for you to kick out Temple. You can't have everything your own way. And that's what they've been doing forever in that conference. Notre Dame. The Notre Dame situation is absolutely thoroughly ridiculous. Notre Dame is in every sport, including men's basketball. Great. And not only that, they're very good at men's basketball because of their Big East association. But they're not in football. But the Big East lets them take a bowl bid. What? What kind of situation is that? And everybody who actually plays conference football in the Big East, when Notre Dame's eligible, they get bumped down a peg on the pecking order because they get, I think, the second-tier bowl. You sit back and go, who put together this mess? It's an absolute mess. They have too many teams now playing basketball in the conference. You don't have a round robin. You don't even have close to a round robin. I think you play everybody in the conference once. I think you play two of them home and away or some situation like that. And then football-wise, it's a mess. They put in the Miami rule, trying to keep Miami in. Hey, where if you won the conference in football, you got a $4 million bonus. That was put in to keep Miami in the conference. They keep doing desperate things all the time to keep it cobbled together with glue and gaffer's tape. And what is really needed is a Big East football conference where it's Eastern schools and then the Catholic schools in the league, DePaul, Marquette, Georgetown, Villanova, whatever, and St. John's. They need to just break away and have their own league, their own conference. I mean, that's what really needs to happen. It's not going to happen. And is it this guy's fault? I don't think it's this guy's fault. He's had to deal with a terrible landscape. He comes in, looks like TCU's coming in, then they're out. But the Big East is a mess. It's been a mess from day one. I shouldn't say from day one. It's been a mess since the decision not to admit Penn State. It's been a mess since the All-Sports Conference wasn't put in place, which is their fault. And then Penn State's shocking move to go to the Big Ten, which forced them to get football in the East. Now you have basketball-only playing members. Virginia Tech was allowed to play football, but they had to be in the Atlantic 10 for basketball. Temple was allowed to play football. They had to be in the Atlantic 10 for basketball. They finally let Virginia Tech in as a full member. Miami then is a full member. Notre Dame's allowed to play basketball, but Notre Dame doesn't want to be in for football, and they give Notre Dame a bowl bid. Who's running this thing? I mean, there may be movement in the college landscape where the Big 12 has certainly had trouble keeping members. Texas A&M leaves, Nebraska leaves, Missouri leaves. Okay, I understand that. But everybody else is either on the march and moving forward, and then there's this group. I don't get the thought process of the Big East at all. Never have. And they play great basketball. They have so many great basketball teams in there. They play great basketball, fast basketball. They move up and down the floor. There's a flow to Big East basketball. I love it. The flow in Big East basketball is better than the flow in Big Ten basketball. It's more entertaining to watch. I mean, they have great basketball in that conference. But the conference is a mess. And it's different rules for different people. You can't keep doing different rules for different people all the time. You wonder why Syracuse and Pitt want to go to the ACC, why West Virginia wants to go to the Big 12, why West Virginia said, let's get out of this thing now and get to the Big 12. It's better for West Virginia. They're going into a conference where it's a conference. Better revenue splits. I mean, Big East schools only average, I think, in terms of like revenue brought in from media, I think they're averaging about $3 to $4 million per. Big Ten, it's $18 to $22 million per. And you would think in the East, hey, they could get a great contract because they have Washington, they have Philadelphia, they have New York, they have Hartford, they have Pittsburgh. Great markets. Even in basketball, you have DePaul and Chicago. They have great markets. They're not getting any money compared to what everybody else is getting because they're a mess. You can argue the Big East has done more to damage Eastern sports than helped it. And again, basketball's great. But the football component is falling down, further down, further down, further down. I mean, they're fighting every year to keep their BCS bid. And the Notre Dame situation is absurd. You look at them and say, look, you're either all in or you're all out. You know, Notre Dame will say all out. Fine, let them fend for themselves. You can't kowtow to them. You just can't. You're either all in or all out. But then again, the way the Big East is, you're in for football, but you're out. Because already between Virginia Tech, Temple, and the other situations they have, that just tells you how fragile the coalition is. They're not a conference. They're a coalition. We'll come back more of the Steve Jones Show after this on WKOK. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury. And very pleased to have with us, and we apologize for any delay, as we are joined by Dr. John Furia on the line with us. He is a graduate from Brown. I think you're the first graduate from Brown I've ever talked to that didn't coach football.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. It was on my mission statement, but at 140 pounds, they quickly recluse me from that.
I mean, between Joe Paterno and Bill O'Brien, you're the first Brown graduate I talked to who didn't coach football.
There you go. There you go. I tried. It never happened.
He's the director of sports medicine at Evangelical Community Hospital and assists at Sun Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. He's been the team physician at the amateur and professional level for 22 years, including Bucknell, Rochester. Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli, by the way, is a Rochester University grad.
Houston Oilers. His last chief resident.
You were his last chief resident.
I was. Yeah. Wayne's a good friend of mine.
Well, good. He and I are traveling up to Scranton on Thursday, by the way.
We'll certainly talk
about that. But along the way, has worked with the Houston Oilers, the Astros, the Rockets, the Rochester Americans, the Amherst of the AHL, U.S. amateur boxing, high school level, and Greece's Olympic football teams as well. About the study of head injuries, how much more information do we have now than even 10 years ago?
Oh, a whole lot more, Steve, a whole lot more. There's been a significant amount of research and outcome data to further define how we're going to evaluate and treat athletes with these problems.
And when we, when you, go ahead, John.
Please. No, Steve, that's much better. I was getting a big echo there in my ear. There's a whole lot more information there, and indeed, it's a very hot topic now because the American College of Sports Medicine has just come out with the new guidelines for how we manage athletes with concussions.
And let's talk about that for a moment. Every athlete that comes in here takes a test right away. It's, quote, their baseline test. And from their baseline, then when they eventually do suffer a potential head injury, then they have to retake the test. But this is not a simple A, B, and C 10-question test. This is a rather extensive exam. Give us an idea of how extensive this is.
Oh, it is very extensive. It incorporates both objective and subjective criteria. So we look at things that they can do that can be measured objectively as well as some subjective findings. Yeah, there's a significant amount of questions, reaction time, assessments for balance, assessments for coordination, thought processes, et cetera. So it's a somewhat long process, but it's right now the best tool that we have. But it is, Steve, just a tool for determining whether or not an athlete's going to be safe to get back to play. And may I add, too, if I could, Steve, it is only one arrow in the physician's quiver. The guidelines make it clear that every athlete with a concussion needs to be treated on an individual basis. So the results from pre- and post-testing are but one criteria that we use, just one, for determining when it's safe to let an athlete get back to play.
Another part of it, by the way, is the physical endurance part of it. And the athletes will tell you that to some of them, this is a bigger pain in the neck than taking the test because it is extensive, it is hard, and it's also to see how the head reacts.
Well said. Yeah, that's very, very true. And we need to make sure that they have no symptoms at all with exertion, that their balance of coordination remains the same as they exert themselves, not just at the baseline, but rather during exertion, and that their cognitive ability is stable.
For youth, should youth at almost every level be wearing some sort of headgear, even if it's, for example, soccer?
Well, you know, I think it's someone once told me you never say never. You never say always. And I'm not certain that it's always indicated, but I'll be honest. Since we have required use of helmets in various contact and non-contact sports, we have seen a decrease in the number of head injuries. However, even when I think it's real important to the listeners to know that even with a helmet, one can get a rather significant traumatic brain injury, like a concussion. And the classic example is I'm a cyclist, so the cyclists who slip and fall, Chris Horner, who's one of America's top and finest professional cyclists, cycles in the Tour de France. He fell at one of the stages of the Tour de France just last year. Sustained numerous lacerations, got back on his bike and finished riding another 100 miles or so, got to the finish line, looked at his trainers and said, well, how did I get bloody? I have no idea, no recollection as to my fall, absolutely none. So it's clear that he rode with a concussion. And when people tried to explain, well, what occurred, they said, Chris, even though you had a helmet on, the brain itself, when it's traveling really fast, such as when you're on a bike downhill or in a car or when you're sprinting, and all of a sudden it stops short, such as with a fall, the brain itself can hit the skull just like any other type of collision, and that sets the stage for a traumatic brain injury or concussion. So even with a helmet, people are at risk.
Exactly, and I know that, for example, Penn State went with the shut football helmet, for example, because they were supposed to be better in dealing with concussions, but that doesn't mean Penn State hasn't had concussions on the football field. It's not foolproof.
No, great point. That's a great point. And, you know, people try to tell you this is the best way of prevention, but, you know, short of foregoing athletics, you're going to see traumatic brain injury. Concussions are just part of the landscape, you know, part of the inherent risks of participating in athletics. I think the onus on the healthcare professionals to know how to diagnose them and how to manage them.
Meanwhile, by the way, one of the keys, by the way, is when the health professional happens to know if a football player has a possible injury, what they do is they hide the helmet on them. Literally, that's
there
an old
go.
Trick that they hide the helmet.
Well said. That's well said, because these kids are in the heat of battle. They want to get back to play, and they can't play if they can't get to the helmet. So we do that. It's still a tried and true method.
How do you feel about the NFL's move starting last season to have somebody on hand that monitors this at every stadium?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea. Again, it reemphasizes what we just talked about: increased awareness, heightened awareness as to the incidence of traumatic brain syndrome or concussions. And now I think you're probably up to speed with the new changes. The big changes that have occurred in the last 12 months is no longer are athletes who sustain a grade one concussion. This is a major change now. A grade one concussion, so-called getting your bell rung. Any athlete, a lot of athletes who've played football have had their bells rung in the past. You no longer are cleared to play on the date of that injury. You're out for at least 24 hours.
I want to thank you for the time you gave us today. It was tremendous to have you on the show. You gave us a lot of insight, and we look forward to talking to you again, because this is such an important topic, not just on the sports that we watch and love, but also in everyday sports and what parents need to be watching for.
Well, wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
John, thank you so much. Coming up top of the hour, news on WKOK as we continue with more after this.